Good morning. As you can tell by the pomp and circumstances, we have a special day for you here, and a great special day for the graduates. You all have been working hard and planning hard for this day. And Will, you made it, didn't you?
I believe so.
Some would have doubted it early.
No,
Will, I'm kidding. You know that. But today we are going to be here recognizing Will High and Christopher Barbie. And we thank you for your hard work and what you've done. I'm going to read the credits for Will. And I know there's several that were also for Christopher as well. But for Will, it says William Arthur High, son of Robert and Kathy High. And also Arthur and Betty High, deceased. And William Jackman, deceased. The grandson. Now, he was a graduate of West Stanley High School. Will, do you know that it's been exactly 61 years since I graduated high school from West Stanley?
No way.
And that's a way. That's a long way. That's a long way. But, yes, I was a graduate there. Hard to believe, but I am. Will's accomplishments, he's a National Technical Honor Society, Work Keys, Gold Level 12, Theater Honors in 12, West Stanley Players 9, 10, 11, and 12. He's also a chess club. Boy, I wish I could play chess. You have to teach me. Quiz Bowl, Career and College Promise Classes, or CPCC. And what I love right here, this is a 3.9 grade average. That's hard to do, folks. I want to tell you that right now. I think that alone deserves an applause right there. Will will be attending Central Piedmont Community College in the fall to earn his Associate in Construction and Management Engineering. He plans to transfer to UNCC to obtain his Bachelor's Degree in Construction Management and Engineering. Will, if you would, please come to the front, please. Will, I want to present you a Bible from Barbers Grove Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
And this is something that you, all the books you've had, mm-hmm. and all the books you've worked with, this is number one.
Amen.
Amen, brother. And I want you to have, if you've got a few words you want to say, family, do that.
I'm just going to try and make it short and sweet. I didn't come up with this, so I'm going to have to come up with it on the spot. I'd like to thank my dad for pushing me hard. I'd like to thank my mom for pushing me even harder. And I'd like to thank my friends for being there for me whenever my mom and dad pushed me too hard. Thank you.
Give him a hand. Amen. Also here today, we're here to honor Christopher Barbie. He's graduating from the Fire Academy and EMT. Chris is here exercising his heart, that his free heart that he gives. I think every day when he helps the less fortunate, he helps those in need. So I call that a servant's heart, Chris. And I believe you have a servant's heart. And I congratulate you on that and your congratulations. If you'll come forward, please, Chris. Barbers Grove Baptist Church would indeed like to present you with a Bible. And you know how valuable it is in your life.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you, my friend.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
Thank
you. Thank you. That's wonderful. I tell you, we have some fine young men there, and it's up to us now to be good role models for them and to help them as they go through life, and I encourage you to do that, okay? All right, let me do what the pastor would do about right now. He would be welcoming everyone here today. We welcome you here. If you are a visitor, I'm scanning over here. I don't see any visitors right now, but if indeed, we are glad to have you. Oh, yes, indeed, we do. What's your name?
Cameron,
welcome. Welcome as a visitor to Barbers Grove this morning. We're welcome and glad to have you with us. And we also want to say that it's good to see you all in this number out today. Let's have a word of prayer, please, as we open. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us. A time, Lord, now we can honor and we recognize the graduates. Lord, we know the countless hours they have placed and the education they have received. And we thank you, Lord, for your guidance for them. Help us now, Lord, to be good servants to them as well, and be good examples to them as well as we go through life. And Lord, as we go forward now in the service today, we want to say thank you, and thank you for your many, many blessings. These blessings I pray in your name. Amen. As we do, I'm going to go over here now. If I don't go over here right now, I'm going to forget what I'm supposed to do. As we do each and every Sunday morning, we do have a hymn sing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yep, you're right. Today's birthday day. See, I had it covered up. So let's do the birthdays first. Okay, Brenda, Kathy, thank you very much. Birthdays for June. Charlie Stroop, June the 4th. Charlie, you here. Where are you? There you are. Adeline Hartzell, June the 6th. There you are. Hey, man. Our Zach Snyder, June the 6th. Pat Burgess, June the 7th. Avery Hartzell, June the 14th. There you go. Gary Hamilton, there you are, Gary. June the 15th. Gary, you don't look a day over 80. Kathy High, June the 16th. What about Kathy?
29.
You look 29, sure you do. And Jeanette Barbie, 29 again, June the 22nd. And Shirley Edwards, June the 27th. Okay, I think that was a mistake there. Okay, all right. Are there anyone that I may have overlooked anywhere? Okay, give me that key, Brenda. You go, huh? There you go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And we've got a bunch of anniversaries. It's June, after all, right? Why do so many people get married in June? Did anybody ever say that? There's a lot. And I don't know what June is. Just a great month to get married, I guess. Okay. Now here we go. Anniversaries for the month of June. Ted and Bonnie Barbie. Jeff and Lori Keplinger. You think I never said that before. Jeff, how many years now?
It's been forever. I think it's 45.
45. I don't know. She just left you.
She just left you.
All right. Kenny and Rita Linker, June the 19th. Grant and Aaron Hartzell, June the 23rd. All right, Grant. How many years? Don't look over and ask her.
It's getting up there. I'm losing count. 18
of them? Yeah. She don't know either. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. All right. And Barbie and Marvin Beggs, June the 24th, and David and Stacy Talley, June the 25th. Have I overlooked anyone in it all? All right. I've got some of them in trouble already, so we'll try our best. So let's give them a round of applause and congratulations. All right, now, Kathy, I think it's all right for me to go to the hymn sing. We are going to do our hymn sing this morning called Holy, 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 as we all stand, please. It's on the board.
Lord God Almighty.
Remain standing for prayer, please. You may be seated. Good to see you all again. I'm going to have a few announcements for you at this time. First, let me say that we need to, our pastor is away today. He's at homecoming, one of his former churches, Brush Creek, I believe it is. And so he's away with that today. And Brother Jim's going to be preaching to us today. He teaches as well, but he's going to preach today. So Brother Jim will be coming for that today. Also, as announcements go, there'll be no Sunday night services, right, Grant? None tonight for the youth or us, so nothing. Then Wednesday night, we have a 10 a.m. Wings meeting. So ladies, be prepared for your Wings meeting on Wednesday, June the 4th. And at 6:30, we'll be adult Bible study. Okay. Then we've got Vacation Bible School. Now, anybody want to speak to Vacation Bible School at this time, where we are? Anyway, the kickoff is Friday, June the 20th, 6 through 8. And then the Vacation Bible School will be June the 21st at 8:30. Breakfast and lunch provided. And then sign-up sheets are on the bulletin board. And you still need some help, don't you? And always can use some help for Bible school. So let's remember that. Always we need some help for that. Okay, so Hannah, you want to speak anything? Okay. Okay, all right.
And t-shirt sizes.
Do what now?
T-shirt sizes.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sign up. Church work day. Brother Jeff, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we got several things to do, and as I always say, many hands make for quick work. So please see one of the buildings and grounds folks. We'll pair everybody up, try to knock this out real
Easy enough. Easy enough. All right. Any questions? Let's all plan to be here with our hammers and whatever it takes to get it done, right?
There you go.
There's going to be a lot of cleanup done today, too, right? After that day.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. All right. Well, we can always use that. I mean, there's no question about that. All right. Any other announcements that I may have overlooked anywhere? Okay. Let's go to then our prayer request. As I've already said, we need to be in prayer for Pastor Ed this morning. And, of course, about Brother Jim, Pastor Jim, as he comes before us today. But we have others that have been mentioned to me this morning. Remember Brother Tony Eford, he's still, his health is not good where it needs to be, not really good this morning. Let's remember Brother Jim, he's got surgery coming up. Remember Brother Kenny. Kenny is recuperating at home. He's doing well. I talked to him yesterday, and he seems to be doing fine, but he's not able to be out of home yet. So let's keep him in our prayers. Jeff Kay, we need to keep, remember him, his foot. Is your foot better this morning?
It's getting there.
He's a hopping around. He could be called hop-along. I don't know. But he's good. If he has to hop, he's still there. And I thank you for that, Jeff. Let's remember Rosina. Rosina is still sick this morning. She's not doing very well. Let's remember her. Jay's got a heart calf coming up. That's right, I believe.
Yeah, I believe it's on the 17th.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay. All right, that's all I have right away. Anybody got anything you want to add?
Traveling mercy for us going to the Ark.
Okay.
We're leaving Tuesday on a bus tour with a community full of gospel.
Okay. Okay. Okay, anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we come to you, Lord. Oh, we came seeking a blessing, and Lord, we've already received a blessing this morning. And we've also received your grace this morning, and we thank you for that. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your supporting us as we support you. And Lord, I ask now, Lord, that you would touch the hearts that have been asked today, Lord, for prayer. Let's remember, we need to remember, Lord, and lift up our pastor, Pastor Ed, who is away. We ask for traveling mercy for him and let him have a productive time at the anniversary. And then, Lord, I remember Brother Jim as he comes before us today and as he preaches to us today. We pray, Lord, and we know you will give him the words that we never need of and that we can apply it to our hearts and our lives. But then, Lord, there are those among us, Lord, that are still hurting. And I want to lift them up to you, Lord, if I may, Lord, this morning. Because I know, Lord, you're an awesome God. I know, Lord, you're able. And I know, Lord, that you asked, that we ask you. And, Lord, I pray now, Lord, for Brother Tony, that he'll get his full strength back that he needs, that he'll be out there on that John Deere tractor again. I pray for him. Pray for Brother Jim, Lord, as he has surgery in his future. We lift him up to you, Lord, and we ask for healing of his body. And Brother Kenny, Lord, as he is recuperating from surgery, we pray for him as he gets stronger each day. We pray for full recovery for him. Jeff Kay with his foot, Lord, we pray for that foot to get better and to get stronger with him. Miss Rosina, Lord, as she continues to be sick, Lord, we pray for her. We ask for healing for her body as well. And then Jay, as he goes for the heart cath, we pray for him, Lord, that heart cath will be negative. And he will be fine, Lord, we pray. And then, Lord, we ask for mercy, traveling mercy for Kathy and for all her, all the family, for Robert and all those that will be going on the trip. We pray for them as they go away. And then, Lord, I pray again for Barbies Grove Baptist Church. We lift it up to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to grow. Give us the wisdom we need. Give us the wisdom we need to go out and help this church grow, we pray. And then, Lord, as we go forward, Lord, we want to remember, Lord, that all the blessings we ask for and everything is in your name, we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Got a song today that I've never played it here. But the song that is such a beautiful song. And the words are, I'm telling you, the words is so so pretty and so great. It's called The Goodness of God. Is anybody familiar with the song? I'm sure some of you are. The Goodness of God. Well, I'm familiar with the goodness of God. I can tell you that. Because I'm here this morning and able to do it, and you are too. This is more of a bit more of a sing-along for you, because we're going to have the words and the words in the song up there. But I want you to stand and sing with me what you can by reading the words off the board. The goodness of God. Stand, please. everybody said amen. You may be seated. Children, you are dismissed.
And when Leonard was doing the birthdays, he told the lady, still 29, and reminded me that my mother used to reverse her numbers when she got up in years. And when she turned 92, we bought her a coffee cup that said, still 29 after all these years. If you have your Bibles with you, and I trust that you do, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. And I'm going to look at one verse in chapter 1 and then about four verses in chapter 2. And so as you're doing that, I want you to think about this. And I usually end my services by saying this, but I'm going to begin it this time because I want you to remember that God is still on his throne and his mercy endures forever. Amen. And we need to be reminded of that from time to time because we forget. We want to put ourselves on the throne, and we forget that God's mercy is there for us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Gracious Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your word. And we're thankful for your grace and your mercy and your love. And we ask you, Almighty God, to anoint us this day, that, Lord, you will pour your Spirit out upon us this morning, that the fire may fall from heaven to the pulpit, to the pew. We ask, Almighty God, that you will give us that fresh touch of your Spirit. As we open your word, we ask you to anoint it. For, Lord, we cling to the promise that you said your word would not return unto you void. And we ask you, Father, to just speak through me this morning. Hide me behind the cross, that people may not see me, but they see Jesus in me. Father, I ask that your will be done. Speak through me now in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I have a little trouble with my voice this morning. You know, I always attribute it to Satan because he knows when I'm about to preach, he begins to work hard on me to keep me from doing so. This morning, I have entitled this sermon, When the Spirit Comes. You know, in verse 8 of chapter 1, he makes a statement and says, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So when the Spirit comes, so what happens in the life of the believer when the Spirit comes in? What takes place in that life, in that person's life, when they ask Christ to come into their life and the Holy Spirit descends upon them and comes upon them and fills them with his Spirit? What happens? What happens? In these passages, we'll see just some of what happens. Now, these things that I'm going to tell you today are not conclusive, for there are many things that the Holy Spirit does. And I hope and I pray that what I say here will whet your appetite to know and experience more of the Spirit. Don't you think we need more of the Spirit? Don't you think we need to have that fresh touch of the Spirit as an individual, as a church, And as a nation, I believe we do. And so I pray daily and have been for some time that Lord would give me that special, that refreshing touch of His Spirit, that fresh touch of His Spirit. So the first thing I want us to see is when the Spirit comes, He equips us for a worldwide campaign. Now look at that verse 8 in chapter 1. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and where? Unto the uttermost part of the earth. See, he's telling us right then and there. Luke is saying to us, or Jesus is saying to us, that the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us, he's going to give us that power to preach his word and to teach his word. And he says, where are you to go? He says, to your hometown, to your state, and to the world. Amen. And to the world. You know, I thank God for Southern Baptists who have the vision to begin at what we call the cooperative program. And I say that simply because of the fact that the cooperative program is what sends our missionaries throughout the world. That's all of our churches coming together, whether you're large or small. That's all of the Southern Baptist churches coming together and giving to this program so that we can send missionaries out. Now, the last I heard, we had 3,500 missionaries throughout the world. Okay? And why is that? Because God gave us the command to do so, to go. We may not be able to physically go, but we can pray for those that God is sending. We can also help support them through financial finances to send them and to get them going. When Janice and I was in Oaxaca, Mexico, we had, I think it was one Southern Baptist family there that the cooperative program helped them to send their child to Oaxaca Christian School, and that freed them up to go into the community where they were ministering and translate the Bible into the language of those people. In the state of Oaxaca alone, there is, I think, 150 different languages. I'm not saying that they're different dialects, because they're not. They all can speak Spanish, but there are 150 different languages, indigenous languages, and they had to translate the New Testament into that language. This is what Luke is talking to us about. He's telling us that we're to go into all the world, and we do that through giving to the cooperative program. Now, that was a plug for the cooperative program, okay? So how does he do this? By giving us the spiritual power that we can go into our communities. Don't we need that power? I'll tell you what, that power comes from on high, does it not? That is what the Holy Spirit gives us when he comes into our lives. I remember the moment that I asked Christ to come into my life. I was having a big party in my house, and there was drugs and alcohol in that house and going through my veins. Yes, indeed. And Jesus came into my life. He convicted my heart, and I fell on my knees and asked him to come into my life. And the moment I got up, I walked in and I said, party's over, folks. Take your drugs and your alcohol and leave. And whatever's left behind is going in the toilet. And that's what happened. My life changed. And why? Because Christ gave me that power. The Holy Ghost came upon me and gave me that power to make that choice and to stand boldly for him, that I can proclaim the word of God. And do you know what? And from that moment on, they all started calling me preacher. Have no idea why, but they started calling me preacher. 10 days later, I surrendered to preach. I guess they saw it before I did. But Christ gave us that power. Excuse me. Janice, would you bring me my water? Oh, okay, I got this one here. Mm. That power gives men courage to rebuke sin. Are there sin in the world today? Is there sin in our communities today? Is there sin in the church today? Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, is there sin in your life today? So what do? We need to rebuke that sin. We have that power to rebuke it. We have that power that God has given to us through the Holy Spirit to get that sin out of our life, out of the church, out of our state, and yes, out of our country. We have that power. Do you realize the kind of power that we have? What is it Scripture says? If you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be ye moved, and it'll move. That's power, folks. We have the kind of power that we can lay on of hands and anoint with oil and pray that God would heal someone and God heal them. I've witnessed it. Janice has witnessed it. We have witnessed people who come and say, oh, the doctors have told me I am ate up with cancer. And we anointed with oil and laid on of hands, and the church laid on of their hands, and we all began to pray. And you know what? 2 weeks later, she came back and said, I went to the doctor 2 days ago, and the doctor said, you're free from cancer. That's power, folks. And that's the power that God has given to us. That spiritual power. In Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, there goes my voice. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. You see, that's what we are talking about, folks. Is that power to get rid of sin, that power to cast out demons, that power to get rid of the ungodliness that is going on, not only within our lives and in our church, but in our country as well. You remember reading in the Bible where Jesus went into the temple and it says he got angry and he overturned the money changers and loosed all the animals and told them to get out. He said, my Father's house is a house of prayer and you've made it a den of thieves. That's what he said, was it not? I sometimes ask myself, we are the church, but are we just playing church? A friend of mine who was director of missions in an association I was in told me one day, he said he was pastoring a church in Missouri, and he was also a farmer, and he'd come in from the field, and his children had rolled up some logs, about three different ones, and they stood one small one up, and they were sitting on the logs, and the oldest son was behind the one setting up, and he said, kids, what are you doing? And he looked at him and said, we're playing church, Daddy. He said, man, that hit me between the eyes. He said, is that what we do? Is we play church? Folks, do you realize the power we have within us because of the Holy Spirit? He has given us that power. When Elijah prayed, fire fell from heaven, consumed the offering. Paul prayed and healed a man. Jesus healed a man from blindness. We've seen all through the book of the New Testament where the apostles began to lay on of hands and to pray, and people were healed of infirmities. But folks, I'm going to tell you, that boldness to stand and say, thus saith the Lord, is what we need in our churches today. We need godly men who will stand behind this sacred desk and not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not be ashamed to say that it's only the blood that can wash you clean. And that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. See, He has given us that power. He enables us to speak with authority. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Great power. See, that gives us that authority, does it not? The Holy Spirit gave them that power to speak with authority, with boldness. We have that authority. That authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. That authority is the Holy Ghost within us. That authority is this book that we call the Holy Bible. Because it is His authority that we have that great grace. And we're witnesses of the resurrection, are we not? Say, "Well, I wasn't there, neither was I, but I'm telling you, I experienced it in my life because I died that night on January 1st, 1977 or 76. And I rose again just moments later. Didn't take me 3 days. He rose me right then because He has that power into a new life, into a new person. Oh, I got the same name, but it was a new me. It was a different me." Folks, He gives us that boldness. We have it. We're the church and we have it. He gives us that power to witness, to be that testimony for a lost and dying world. The next morning after I got saved, I had what we called duty, CQ duty, charge of quarters. And it was a 24-hour duty. And I had that duty. And several of the guys come up and said, "Oh, I heard you had such a good party at your house last night." Said, "We're going to have to do that so I can join you." And I looked them in the eye and I said, "I'm sorry. I invited Jesus into my life and I don't do those things anymore." See, that's what He gives us. That witness, that power to witness, to not be ashamed of who He is and what He's done in our lives. See, your testimony may not be as miraculous as mine, or mine may not be as miraculous as yours, but it's still a testimony. And we can share that. And we need not be timid about it. Why? Because we have the power of the Holy Ghost within us that gives us that power to tell and to share our witness. Acts chapter 22 and verse 15 says, "For thou shalt be His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." What we've seen, what we heard, we are witnesses to, right? I mean, we can't give a witness for something we have not seen or heard, right? But we can witness for what's happened in our lives because we have experienced it. I believe we need to experience that Holy Spirit power once again because He gives us that power to testify. You know, when you go into a court and they want you to testify, it's something that you have personally witnessed, is it not? Something you have personally seen. So how are we to be given this testimony if we haven't seen it? But if we have seen it, then how are we supposed to be given it? Unceasingly. Now I'm going to name off a bunch of scriptures and I'm not going to read them. So you can write them down for those of you that are taking notes, and I hope you are. But we are to give it unceasingly. And you find that in Isaiah 62:6. We're to do it in the home. And that is Mark 5:18 and 19. In the assembly of the saints. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. You see, we're to teach our children. We're to share with other people. Because when we share things that God is doing within our lives among the saints, it encourages them. Folks, we need to be encouragers, don't we? I mean, we don't want to discourage anybody, do we? No. We want to encourage them to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. And we are to do it without shame or fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. We're to do it without shame or fear. Aren't you glad that we still live in a country that we can proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ without fear? I am. There may come a time when we won't be able to legally, but you know what? As I've said before, when they outlaw me preaching the word, then come take me away, because I'm going to keep preaching it as God gives me utterance. The second point is that when the Spirit comes, He fills all believers. Some people have the idea that the Spirit is only for pastors. The Spirit of God is for all people. He comes upon all. It says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them, not just a portion of them, but every one of them. You know, and I always like to tell people, you know, they were in a Honda, because it says they were all with one accord. You know, but the thing is that what that means is that they were all together with like-mindedness. And folks, I think that it's time that we as Baptists and Pentecostals and Presbyterians and Methodists, of course, from Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans, only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe what the Bible says, because there are some who don't. And yes, even Catholics. We need to come together, not as a one-world church, but to come together as a body of believers and preaching the Word of God and standing upon the principles of God's Word and letting the world hear what God has to say. We become united when we are filled with that Spirit. And folks, we need to be united today. We need to be united. One person can do so much. Two can do more. But thousands upon thousands can make mountains move. You realize we have the power to change the world with the Word of God. But we got to believe what the Word says. We got to believe what God says in His Word. You see, we become united through contrition, which unifies believers. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers." When we are united and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are unbeatable and we cannot be stopped. And I'm here to tell you, beloved, that the Scripture tells us that the gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. Cannot prevail. And if the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, then why don't we boldly stand up and tell the world, "Thus saith the Lord"? And if they say, "We don't want to hear it," tell them, "Thank you, but Jesus still loves you," because they heard it already. They've heard it already. See, we cannot be stopped. Jesus prayed for a united church. John chapter 17 and verse 21 says that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. We are one in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, we as Baptists may not believe in speaking in what our Pentecostal brethren say is an unknown tongue. And I have my own beliefs about that, and I hope that you go along with me. If not, well, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. But the Scripture tells us that they began to preach. And as they preached, the people heard them in their own language. To me, that was speaking in tongues. Because they heard them in their own language. They said, "How can this be? These unlearned men, and they're speaking in our language. We hear them in our own language." And they heard the Word of God. The Bible said that 3,000 souls came to Jesus. man, what would it be like to see 3,000 souls come to see, know Jesus as Lord and Savior today, right now, at Barbie's Grove Baptist Church? At any church. At every church. See, we have that authority. We are one in Christ. I may not believe all that the Pentecostals believe, or the Catholics, or Methodists, or Presbyterians, or, and that's just to name a few, but if they and us have truly received Christ as Lord and Savior and believe that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, that he came to earth as a babe in a manger, grew to be a man, was beaten, hung on a cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, risen from the dead 3 days later, ascended into heaven, and is coming again, then we are all part of the family of God.
Amen.
Because folks, we are part of the family of God. Third and last point. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings divine fire upon all believers. That fire from heaven that I spoke about, where it falls from heaven to the pulpit, to the pew. That fire that came down and consumed Elijah's offering upon Mount Carmel was the power of God. We have that fire within us, folks. We need to get it stirred up, do we not?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29 says, "For God is a consuming fire." Isaiah 66:15 says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire." Folks, he's come upon us. He is that consuming fire. That Holy Ghost is upon us, and he is that consuming fire that just literally consumes every part of us when we surrender, absolutely surrender totally and completely to his will and to his purpose. That fire falls from heaven upon us. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. I'm glad that he does. And he fills us with himself. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." With boldness, folks. Acts 13:52 says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. We speak as the Spirit gives us utterance." See, when we are filled with that Holy Spirit, we speak as the Spirit gives us utterance. We let the Word of God flow through us, and the Spirit use us in such a way that it touches the hearts of people. It pierces to their hearts. Can't remember exactly where the verse is at, but I believe it's in 1 Timothy, where he says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's what the word of God does. That's the power of the word of God, because he tries our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "And in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge." God gives us what we need to know. God gives us what we need to know. God gives us what we need to say. God gives us the strength to do it. So I ask you today, have you called on Jesus for salvation? Do you need a fresh touch of the Spirit, a stirring up of the experience of a new life, or a stirring up of the Spirit in your life? Come and have the experience of a new life, or an experience of a renewing of the Spirit in your life. Because God wants to renew that Spirit within us. He wants us to come to him and have that Spirit stirred up within us, so that we can be able to have that that joy and peace that passes all understanding. And he wants to give it to us. And he wants to give it to you today. Today, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, I encourage you to come and to invite him into your life. I'll show you the way. We'll take the word of God together and I'll show you how you can ask Jesus to come into your life. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian. I know I am. But I've never been baptized." Well, I encourage you to come and I'll talk with you and pray with you. And Brother Ed will talk with you when he gets back and pray with you and see what we can do about getting you baptized, following the Lord in baptism. Now, I want to remind you that baptism, water baptism, does not save you. It has no saving power. It is the first act of obedience on your part. It demonstrates the death, burial, and resurrection of your spiritual life. You see, and if you're here today, and you say, "Well, I've done all that, preacher, and I'm a member here." Well, let me ask you something. Do you attend Sunday school? All through my discipleship that a pastor gave to me when I was in California for a couple of years, he discipled me. And all through that discipleship, he taught me this that has stuck with me forever. He said, "Jim," he said, "as the Sunday school goes, so goes the church. We need to grow our Sunday school. We need to grow our church. We can do that when we work together, when we come together." If you're here today and you need that fresh touch of the Spirit, I encourage you to come to an old-fashioned altar of prayer. We're going to give an invitation. And I'm going to ask that the pianist come and the music leader come to lead us in that hymn of invitation. I'm going to ask you all to stand. And as they come, please stand. I'm going to ask that you join them. So let's all stand. Gracious Father in heaven, I come before you to thank you for this opportunity of being in your house today. I thank you for your word. I pray that you will take this word, Lord, and that you will use it now and speak to the hearts of people. I pray, Father, that as we go into this time of invitation, that your Spirit will so move upon each of us, trying each and every heart, that, Lord, we may, if any is lacking, that we may come and make things right with you. Father, if we need to come and have that Spirit stirred up within us, experience that revival, experience that renewing of the Spirit in our lives, I pray that decisions will be made to do so this morning. Father, guide us, direct us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Softly and tenderly.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you.
He's calling for you to come home.
You're weary. Just come home. Weary, come
to Jesus right now.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling all sinner.
I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here today. Thank you for being in attendance. I pray that you have been touched by the Spirit of God through the message. And I just want to just say again, thank you. And as I always said earlier, I began the service with how I close it, but I'm going to go ahead and close it that way. I want you to always remember that God is still on his throne and his mercy endures forever. And you have that hope within you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all who have come out. We ask that, Father, as we depart from this place, that we will go filled with the Spirit and filled with the boldness that we may proclaim it to all people. Guide us, direct us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Thank you, Brenda.